Hey, this is Sugandhi Iyer, and we have a new show. It's called Beyond Earth. The host of the show is Ray Trujillo. Ray, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Okay, so Ray is the one who's going to be doing the show Beyond Earth. I would be like a guest speaker, asking questions, and this is for all of those people out there. All of you who believe that we are not alone. We are not alone on Earth. Earth is not alone as being the only populated planet. There are people or forms of life, not exactly people, existing in this universe and in other universes. This is for those people who believe that there must be something out there, some kind of life that is beyond just being human or animal life, something that could take on different forms, maybe flying some spaceships, it doesn't matter in what form, but certainly there are so many people who believe this on Earth, and if so many people believe it, can it really be untrue? Ray, what do you think? Ray is she's a specialist, I would say, and she specializes in various of life, which goes beyond just normal life and animal life on Earth. And Ray, what do you think? Do you really think people on Earth are alone? Are we really alone? And that's the title of the show. The show title is Beyond Earth, so it is the Beyond Earth show. And you know, are we really alone, Ray, on this planet? And what about space? When we look at space and we look at stars, and some people do it through telescopes, is it really true that there exists no other life form?
Well, I'll be delighted to help contribute to that question. And there's so much debate vastly throughout the world, throughout consciousness and throughout historical dogmas, so to speak, in which, you know, we can go back in time into the Copernicus, Galileo constructs and Nostradamus. We could just even go further back to the Egyptians and so forth. And also, there is much to be discussed about the Atlantean, Lemurian, the lost civilizations and such. And there is this hermetic dictum that most people have heard, and if they have not heard, as above, so below. And essentially, that dictum represents as above, so below, essentially you would say a massive pan-generational project placed into action that would involve a building of clusters of star pyramids, perhaps, at predetermined sites, representing Orion, the Pleiades, and therefore also this goes back into the ancient Egyptian texts of building the great sun temples. So when the great Egyptians, the ancient Egyptian civilizations, and there has been so much contradictory and aligned, and so that is a various subject in which who could essentially be correct, as we are always in the process of discovery, right? So as of the neutral, what I would classify as a neutral construct would be that the ancient Egyptians essentially had built the pyramids underneath the Orion's belt, in which the star, the Milky Way, on both sides from that vernal equinox, the summer solstice, the eclipses, the sun temples on both sides of the Nile, to literally define certain parts of the ecliptic notions. And so, but who is to say that they did build them or not build them, correct? So who positioned those pyramids? And there's pyramids all throughout the world, of course. And there are some that are even bigger than the ancient Egyptian pyramids. Yet they, what did they know? They knew of something. And so, in addition to their sun god Ra, correct? What would be in besides that Egyptian code and the cosmic Egyptian consciousness that transcends and pervades through our consciousness today as earthly inhabitants of Earth? So when we look out upon the Milky Way, the galactic forces, when we look into the moon and we follow the sun, we follow all sorts of the myriad of those, let's say, epochs in our minds. We truly have this innate awareness deeply intrinsic within that we are not essentially alone. How could we be alone? Yet there are many that may just apply themselves to that, well, we are alone because what we can see, what we cannot see, what's tangible versus what's intangible. I want proof, I want evidence. Yet, how can we have proof, which way or non which way, when there is so much to be discovered and unearthed? And also, what has been unearthed that we are not privy to knowledge wise? What has been suppressed knowledge wise? And there's a sanctity in that. There's a sacred awareness with that. There's a sanctity and a divinity with that as well. And if you look at it from a scientific viewpoint, a spiritual viewpoint, somehow they all seem to coalesce and meet in the middle. So we can look at that, yes, do stars exist? Yes, they do. Does the sun exist? Yes, it does. Does the moon exist? Yes, it does. Are there planets that exist? Yes, there are. Are there a multitude of planets? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And are there new planets being discovered, such as Nibiru and other planets? And what other life forms are out there? And so, in essence, there is so much fact. And then we go to the outer limits of that, beyond what the facts in which has been purported to us, presented to us, and the hidden knowledge, which is the most mysterious and the most intriguing. And that is the compulsion within the human construct, is to seek additional further knowledge to enhance that divinity within oneself. Even if one may not believe in a spiritual construct, that's fine. Yet, in all essence, whether or not the genesis of the world, the creator of the world, or if it was essentially just a magnetism of cellular molecular theories and so forth, and silicon fibrous, emanations that resulted. However, in which construct one looks at, we are definitely, certainly not alone. I believe that more or less, it would make more sense to hypothesize that we are not alone versus that we are alone.
Why do people want to know about this? Why is there such curiosity in spite of the fact that the scientific world completely avoids, I should say, giving 100% confirmation that there is life on other planets? So, in spite of the scientific community not giving us that 100% confirmation that there is life on other planets and stars, why do people still hold on to this belief that we're not alone? And people have gone through UFO sightings. People have had that. And many people have come out and spoken about it. Oh, I did see this. I did. Lights, I did this. Oh, I was abducted. And people say, okay, you know what? That could be their imagination, or they were sleeping and they had a experience, something like that, delusion. So many explanations. Wait, could it be that all of the people who have reported or who have stated confirmed seeing UFOs and aliens, are they all wrong? Could it be that every single person on Earth till date who has claimed to see a UFO is wrong?
Actually, the most clear way that I can answer that in a very short sum phrase would be that when you have an entire sum of individuals who are collectively experiencing either the same detailed experience or similar detailed experience, and you notice that all of these expressions of experiences are consisting of an extreme amount of detail, and these details across the world seem to completely add up. So when you deduce from the total sum of all that is consistent versus what is not consistent, therefore, there is so much of that consistency that is essentially the same or similar details, even in different languages, however it's expressed, the verbiage, right, the terminologies, where someone has said that they were abducted and they were in a beautiful spaceship, and someone in Africa could say that, someone in France, someone in the United States could say literally the same expression in their own language, their own verbiage. And when you have so much of that across the board, correct? And then when you deduce the inferences in which an individual has that inference and so forth, that says and states that this occurred to me, and it is my contention that how can that not be a truism? How can that not be a legit circumstance in which that occurred? Because one could easily say, well, someone's having a delusion, or they're under an influence of some frequency of some sort in which these notions are being implanted into their mindset and they're having a disassociation component occur. And where I step in from analysis is to say that these people typically have a tangible physical proof in which there's some certain markings upon the body, or they actually are retrieving something through a portal or a dimension in which they are not deemed as a pathological liar or any sort of exacerbation of truth or hyperbole. In essence, that individual, that other individual in Africa, the individual in France, the individual in America, and I'm speaking on terms of numerous people throughout the world, but those, let's say, those three particular individuals that have no coordinated effort between the three of them and have no agenda between the three of them, and they each can describe to this precision, this to the minute detail of an experience that is extremely consistent. And from a theoretical viewpoint and standpoint, scientifically, that would equate to an actual sum of truism that these three particular individuals experienced something. Had they had any sort of discourse amongst them, any communication that would extend beyond something versus a telepathic communication where they connected telepathically? And so when we step in, we look at it, and then we look at that it wasn't just those three individuals per se. That's truly just my example, just to reach across the board here. And when you look upon countless, countless experiences that are being documented, in which there's those details that cannot be overturned, and these details and the evidence of those details and the particular markings, or incisions, or a crop circle. I mean, we could go on and on about that, which is really fascinating. It's truly, they can be very magical experiences. They can be very enlightening experiences. They can be, every which way you can perceive it. Yet, in those ways, where it's repressed, and the knowledge is being hidden or repressed from individuals, and there's an illusion in which sometimes can be created that, oh, that person was just having a psychotic break. They had an illusion. They were in a hyperbole emphasis. They were disassociating. They were leaving their body from trauma and so forth. Well, when you look at the construct, where is it in which that could be not valid and true, in which these individuals experienced an interdimensional being experience? And so through our dreams, through telepathy, through sacred medicine, right? So many people can transcend and connect. And some other times it's not even through that. It's not even through prayer, meditation, affirmative prayer, sacred ritual, sacred rites. It could just literally be an involuntary experience in which one person in the middle of nowhere is transcended into perhaps an Arcturian spaceship or some being of light, like a cosmic force that travels beyond nanosecond speed of time, which we as humans can't even conceptualize the rapidness of that speed, in which these extremely beautiful, I would say beautiful beings interdimensionally are transcending upon Earth to examine us as perhaps human subjects, perhaps, right? That's just a hypothesis. That's not a fact that I can state as a fact, because there's much for introspection with that. But from what I esteem is that we are being prepared for divine intervention to raise the vibration of this planet. And so what they know above as below, correct? That heretic dictum, as above, so below, there's a massive, beautiful consciousness in which is being implemented into our human DNA, aligned with our consistent thought process to expand our vast awareness, and therefore to really create and transcend the Aquarian and the golden ages from here into the future to better humanity.
Dori, when you said as above, so below, I misunderstood it as being religious.
Oh, yeah, well, that's okay.
It as being religious, but then when you said what you just said, I understood it in another way, probably the way that you meant, and correct me if I'm wrong, and that is, okay, so maybe there are beings, some people may call them aliens, but maybe there are beings out there that are of higher levels of consciousness and thinking. And on Earth right now, the way it is, and the way it's been for a bit, is it's got a component of darkness, let's just be frank, and dark things happening. Many dark things have happened on Earth, and there is an element of darkness born out of current level of consciousness that exists on Earth. And is it that you mean that there are beings out there, a higher level of consciousness, who couldn't even contemplate engaging in the darkness that some people on Earth engage in, and that they're trying to raise the consciousness of people on Earth so that people on Earth can think better and do better and be better? Is that what you mean? So what you mean is not religious, it's more of I'm saying right now, am I right?
That's precisely correct. And it's very astute of you to make that notation, because essentially that is a dictum that could be classified under religious or even in, but there's various dogmas. There's back to the ancient Egyptians. You can also go into paganism, all sorts of things, but it truly is a hermetic dictum. And in the dialectic component of that, as above and so below, in which it's not truly just individualized to a religious construct, but essentially it is to our existence. And so from a scientific or a neuroscientific standpoint or a pseudoscientific standpoint, any sort of standpoint in which one could apply or not apply, right? There is such a thing as above and so below, because we do have our hemispheres and we do have our longitude and our latitudes, and we have what's on the left and what's on the right and what's above and what is below, correct? Yet in the standpoint of looking at the birth of consciousness, right? And if we apply that with the physical, the tangible scientific standpoint of that we have solar systems, we have nebulas, we have Orion's belt, we have, I mean, we could go on and on about that. And in the total sum of the Earth, in which some people believe the Earth is flat and some say the Earth is round, there's much debate about that as well. Yet that a principle as above and so below can truly apply to anything. So if I'm on a penthouse suite on the 34th floor on the very top of a beautiful building, what's below me? Well, there's an underground valet parking garage, correct? So what's above me? The sky. And what's below me? Well, besides the underground parking garage, there's also the nucleus, the matrix of the Earth's shell itself, in which the middle Earth, which we have magna and so forth. So is that below, or what's below that? Is it below the hemisphere on the equator side, right? So there's so much to be considered with that statement as above and so below. So I believe that that can definitely transcend any religious dogma or spiritual dogma, and it can apply into a scientific frequency, such as Newton's law, what goes up must come down, correct? So in application of all of that, when you have that in that, and you literally co-apply these thoughts, this is where it meets in the neutrality in the middle. So where, you know, where one could consider themselves a very spiritual person or a very religious person, and one can consider themselves very scientific, and that's beautiful. And then one can consider themselves very religious, yet they apply the science, in which there are many that attribute themselves in that dogma, of course, in that thought process, and they theorize things and conceptualize things in that manner. But that's the beauty of this, is that we all have our free will, in which we can define what interests us in our personality and culminate ourselves in what our belief system or non-belief system can sum to. And therefore, when I speak of the as above and so below, you were correct when you referenced that as being in the context of the interdimensional galactic masters, the beautiful beings in which I believe, and I've, from what I can contend and what I've witnessed, experienced through other individuals who shared with me and other accounts that I've observed and read of people that I don't know collectively and people I do know collectively, I can only ascertain that they are truly the interdimensional beings, the galactic masters, so to speak. They're only truly trying to assist us to transcend the, as you stated, the dark experiences that have occurred upon Earth, and that being with humanity, with nature, with the consciousness, with certain forces, correct? And so if a scientist that is clearly just in a scientific realm, one cannot mitigate that there are destructive qualities that occur, in which that would equal the negative occurrence, correct? Such as environmental things and so forth. So we can apply and merge all the thought process together, but that is essentially what is the interdimensional construct is trying to assist us with, to help us and harbinger us into a more evolved state of being.
Every movies that they make on aliens, movies that they make on life that exists beyond Earth, commercial movies, some documentaries also, they show all of these beings as being inimical and not friendly to Earth. But however, my thinking is, and correct me if I'm wrong, if they were so inimical, how come we're not really being attacked? And some people might say, well, some of the natural things that happen on Earth are all forms of alien attacks, and some of the political unrest and wars have been created by aliens. But I'm thinking, you know, if they really wanted to attack, they would attack differently, directly, in different ways. So I feel that Earth has really not been attacked by aliens, and if they should attack, it would be a different form of attack. So given that all these years have passed and we're all safe and we're all fine, it makes me believe that alien life is not inimical. They are probably higher beings who want to help, and if they wanted to attack, they would have attacked by now. What do you think?
Well, you bring up an excellent, beautiful, brilliant point, because I'm on the same contention of that with you. I share that same thought process with you. And as we know, there's predictive programming, and there's also a deflection that is interjected through what we are provided at times in the human creation of what is part of entertainment, correct? So in my thought process, I believe that they're extremely the opposite of the negative frequency in which they have been demonized or demoralized in that construct. I agree with you that they are these immensely, immensely, superbly just genius beings that have such vast knowledge through eons of time of existence, in which they can do so much to help us, but they're also not going against the free will, even if some may say, well, if they're so wonderful, how come they haven't stepped in and helped all of us up until this point? But who is to say that truly? Because at times, what if there are moments in which we do not know how something magical and, you know, occurred, in which there was a divine cosmic galactic interception, in which these particular galactic, beautiful interdimensional beings perhaps transcended here to help imbue and embody something here that we needed to occur and happen. So I'm on the same mindset as you, that they are not here to harm. They're here to raise our vibration, raise our intellect, and contribute to a generation of positive influence of that the that we have to take care of Mother Gaia, our Earth. We have to take care of the baby animals, the babies on Earth, right? So if we don't take care of the babies on Earth and the baby animals on Earth, then what is to be of us? So there's a beautiful construct as well with how the application of the caretakers of Earth, the caretakers of babies, the caretakers of baby animals, right? I'm just using babies as an example because it's the innocence, the preservation of innocence. It is the next generation. We have to truly instill upon babies that protection, that love, that nurturing, and in the precepts of the mind, in which it should be a natural predication with anyone's inherent knowledge that when you see a baby and you see a baby animal, that we must care for that baby. We must never abandon the baby. We must always be there with the baby and nurture and love and just be present with the baby, right? So how I interpret this is that we must take whatever knowledge that we can assimilate and what we can absorb, in which if we really truly applied in the baby essence of nurturing more so, this world would be a more fantastical and more magnanimous and more benevolent world if we actually applied those constructs of that nurturing and that emotional intelligence and that spiritual intelligence applied with scientific intelligence, of course, right? So it all makes sense across the board in what I equate in my thought process. So I do agree with you wholeheartedly, and that if they had anything of a negative inference, that we would have been imploded by now. And I'm confident with stating that. I believe that they observe, they intercede when necessary, and they are respectful of our free will. And they're, I believe, very elegant beings, very elegant and highly sophisticated. Actually, when I even expressed that, I received the download that just by me saying sophisticated, it is actually not even the sum of sophistication. It is on such a advanced level of sophistication that even the word sophistication cannot sum it up as to what these beautiful interdimensional beings truly entail.
To Re, my question is to you, are we looking at something here which is way grander, way grander than we can even imagine? That these beings are at a level that's even hard to comprehend, and that the power that they have, good power, is so great that we are not even able to look at it, and as a result, we are shut off in a shell, so to speak. Everybody seems to be in a shell and covered up and shielded and protected in a weird way from knowing this grandness that exists outside of us. Would we even go to say that some of the aliens could be what some people call demigods or gods or forms of gods, and that by opening ourselves up to this immense power, this immense good power, then we can lead better lives? Do you think there's something there that can help people? And why? And I'm tagging on a question right now, and in case you don't answer this, I'll just remind you. Why is it that the scientific community wants to block us from this? Is it that they just don't want, and I'm not talking of some of the scientists who are good scientists, I'm talking of there's a general group that seems to want to block people here on Earth from great grand power that is good. Is there some attempt to block, at least why would people who have UFO sightings be, I mean, they're made to feel strange. They're really made to feel as if they're not normal.
Correct. Well, unfortunately for the individuals that have experienced such experiences in the way in which that would contradict perhaps someone in the scientific realm of viewpoint of what's tangible versus what's not tangible, what has evidentiary proof versus non-evidentiary proof, correct? In which it's almost like a prosecutor and a defendant in a court of law. And so there has to be a certain amount of proof to transcend and supersede the notion of non-truth, correct? So I can see how, of course, some scientists would come from that construct of truism and ideology. And I can also see how other scientists that actually have, they merge more than one thought process together. I can see both angles. I really can. Yet, unfortunately, for those individuals who've had certain experiences in which they are deemed in some fictitious way of, I would say, accusation of hyperbole, and we can go way back here. We can talk about many things historically in which, I could go in so many directions in which I saw this. Oh, no, you didn't. I saw that. No, you didn't. I see this. No, you're crazy, right? But unfortunately, these individuals have been ostracized, and there's something different about these individuals. There's something different about the precepts in the mind in which there's a belief system that's applied because they've actually experienced it. They've actually eyewitnessed it. They've observed it, or they have an intrigue of it. And they have such a defined perception of what could be, what else is out there, because it's encoded, yes, in perhaps their DNA construct. It's perhaps encoded in their subconsciousness and their higher consciousness. And perhaps they could also be an emanation of a star seed in which they are an incarnate of an interplanetary existence, in which I definitely know that there are so many of those individuals that exist. And so I believe that because of these experiences in which, let's say, the rigidity of evidence, right, in which the rigidness of evidence, which I respect evidence, I respect tangible evidence, I respect that. Yet when one has received the applications to have a implementation of further knowledge in a different way that is transcending of the third dimension, because let's just say that a scientist that is just in the system of proof of evidence and tangibility, that they're in completely genius, completely informed in so many ways in their realm, and they can literally give a thesis in their sleep, correct? So there's nothing to cause a detriment to that individual or individuals in that realm. Yet they're in a third dimensional standpoint, even if they work for NASA, right? Yet when you have an application of that, there is an existence and awareness and experience that is inconceivable to the third dimension in which we are in, correct? But that is because it's from a five-dimensional standpoint. And in that five-dimensional standpoint, it exists, and therefore it continues and creates itself to be. And so I would say that that would be the answer to that part of the question, in which that is the differentiation.
So do you think that, Ray, do you feel that the star seeds, and many people define star seed as being people who originate from out of space and they're not originally from Earth, and that they're just on Earth to raise the vibration? Do you feel that because there could be so many star seeds, people, and even some animals of that nature, that they are being blocked off purposely from, quote-unquote, mothership, or the planets that they originate from? Is it that the star seeds on Earth are being blocked by being given this impression that there's nothing else but Earth? I kind of felt as if there is something that's blocking people from knowing where they really are from. What do you think?
I agree with you. With that sentiment, that expression, that astuteness, because it does seem to me that when you look at a comprehensive level of how much experience has been dictated and theorized and documented, that it seems that there are more in the, let's say, starseed construct as opposed to the non-starseed construct. And so to your point, I would expand for sure that I am on the same frequency as yourself in that thought modality, in which when we have, and I'm just going to apply the star seed, correct? There could definitely be a coordinated effort to block or to veil the unveiled, because the emanation of, let's say, a star seed or an animal incarnate that is a star seed, and we can go into definite deeper realms with that, in which there are animals that are so connected to the interdimensional spectrum, such as kitty cats, such as sharks, such as beautiful birds, so many beautiful animals, so many gorgeous creatures. And so in that way, just as the human ways in which the starseed incarnates, in which we are, quote unquote, told to believe, no, that is not true. No, you did not see something. Oh, that's just a figment of your imagination. Oh, you're watching too much X-Files, or you're watching or you're reading too many novels, or you're reading too many things that's not reality. But then there is this inherent, just intrinsic intelligence that lies within certain individuals. And those individuals, how are they all equating to a similar thought process? How are they all attributing certain characteristics and, you know, these emanations of themselves? And I can simply just state that it's because these particular individuals, which there are so many, and the animals as well, are in a process of transcending the third dimension, in which they are in a five-dimensional state. And there's much to debate there. Technically, some could say that there's 11 dimensions, right? I personally cannot state that if that's true or not. Maybe someone else would know more than I would about that. But from what I've known, what I've seen, there is a classical interpretation of perhaps 11 dimensions. Maybe there's 100, maybe there's a million dimensions. Yet in the overall term, because we have universal years and we have human years and earth years. And so in the universal years, universal year for every one human year, universal year is, let's say, 10 years, right? So because of all that occurrence, in which there are all these frequencies that are interconnected in the quantum entanglement of all, we are merely connected. And when I say merely, that is not in any kind of, you know, minimization place. It is actually just in the simplistic aspect of it, that we exist, we breathe, we are alive, we thrive, and we are in a perpetual resonation of yearning for more of the mysteries of ourselves and where we come from. What else is out there? Who else is out there? And how can we connect? How can we become part of even more so than we already are now? How can we transcend continuously and so forth into the future of ourselves, in which we can find the divined secrets that have been veiled from us, because we are the unveiled. Each and every one of us that has an insight in that correlation of divineness, okay, we have a certain place within our consciousness and our subconsciousness and our cosmic consciousness in that galactic frequency, in which we are unveiled, in which we can see through the veil, just like a shark, just like a kitty cat, just like an eagle, a raven, beautiful, you know, lions. And I could go on and on about the animals of the world. Yet there are extremely beautiful visions in which experiences cannot be disseminated, in which these experiences have occurred, have been experienced. And so therefore, of course, there is going to be much of the negative influence that says, no, that is not true. That is not evidentiary. There's no evidentiary proof to substantiate your vision. Who is to say that your vision is true? You are deemed as a pathological liar. Let me just say that. Or you just had a disassociation, and this is your alternate personality in which you believe that you're, you know, not from this earth. Who is to truly say that to individuals who are unveiled, who have an insight into the five dimensional and beyond? Beyond the 11 dimensions, let's just say, right? So that is merely what we're dealing with. The third dimensional construct, in which there could be emanations of actual pure genius and total awareness, things in which, my goodness, wow, the comprehensive level of that. But then there's also the five dimensional and beyond, in which there's that other intelligence, that higher intelligence of the cosmic awareness, the galactic council, so to speak. We have galactic federations in which there are so many vessels being imparted into each and every one of us, in which, how do these innovations occur? And we can go back to Atlantean times and the Lemurians, and so the Arcturians and the master builders, master engineers. And so the knowledge and the innovation today, where does that come from? Yes, an individual self, and we can talk about reincarnation. We can talk about many of those mastery of oneself and mastery of one's lifetimes and their life force. Yet, where did the genesis of that begin? Where did the genesis of that become itself, into which all of these are bending time and space in the space-time continuum? So essentially, that is my paraphrase to your statement.
This is wonderful. I was just thinking while you were talking, and thinking that if these so-called aliens, and we're just calling them aliens for convenience, the result of all the movies, these advanced beings slash aliens, whatever you want to look at it as, if they were harmful, if they were really truly harmful, seeing that they are advanced so far as their abilities are concerned, if they wanted to do real damage to people on Earth, they would do it in a jiffy and in a much grander scale than the ridiculousness that happens on Earth right now. So to even think that the problems on Earth, or some of the problems on Earth, including wars and political stuff and medical stuff, all of this is because of the aliens, would be ridiculous. Because if they really wanted to destroy Earth, they could in a jiffy. But they're not, obviously. So then we just have to assume, and I think our assumption would be good in stating that these beings are good beings, and that in connecting to them, there is no fear. And I'm talking of mental connection right now, emotional connection, mental connection, and seeking their assistance so far as strength is concerned, confidence, bringing some of their self-confidence, or bringing some of their power inside in a good way, of course. And do you think that's safe? And we can say, you know what, you can connect. If you're a starseed, if you consider yourself connected in some way, or if you identify yourself as being a little different, it's safe to connect to the beings that could be existing out there and will help us and not be scared of them. Of course, we're not telling anybody to do anything. It's in each person's this strength and their abilities to connect. But what we're trying to say is this is a safe world. And if we are surrounded by these beings, it's completely safe, because if they really wanted to damage us, they would have by now. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you. I concur wholeheartedly, because in the precept of the mind and the tenets of thought, in which one could go from, oh, it's the big bad wolf, or, oh, it's, that's dangerous, right? But in reality, when you look at the verifiable entirety, what's testable, okay, truly, 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 what you state about how we could have been imploded within nanoseconds and obliterated so long ago, perhaps at our a genesis of the civilization of where mankind was actually thriving and flourishing with the dialectics, the first words, let's say, in which they could have said, oh, these are emanations of evil people. We need to just implode the whole earth, right? They would have done that. Yet they believe in us. They believe in the goodness that exists and that can exist. And let's say, for the sake of this particular experience in which we're discussing this, the starseed emanations, the starseed incarnates, right? In which, and there could be so many different attributes that I could go into, yet the starseeds all have a mission to accomplish, in which to be kind, to be loving, to help evolve, to nurture a baby, to nurture a baby shark, a baby kitten, a baby lion, right, into a beautiful you know, the circumference of the whole earth, into the Gaia, into our ecosystem, into our intellect, into spread goodness and kindness and peace and compassion and empathy across the whole entire land, in which there is a belief in us. I believe that these beautiful aliens, that we're going to call them that at the moment, that these beautiful aliens, interdimensional beings, have a belief in us that we have a capacity to be good and to be benevolent and to be kind and to be majestic, and that we can evolve and recreate perhaps a beautiful Atlantean Earth in the future. Lemurians, the Lyrans, the Arcturians, we could go on and on, yet there are so many. But there's the harmony and the peace and the joy and the bliss. And the, I would say, the whole sum of just knowing that we can love and be a recipient of love, knowing that we can be a steward of the earth and a steward of mankind and a steward of the animal kingdom and the sentient beings, our trees and our sky and the plants and our harvests and so forth. There's a belief in us. So as we believe in them, that they exist and that they are coming in peace, truly, they also believe that there are peaceful attributes in the humankind. And so therefore, that is why we have not been disseminated, because there is such a vast, extraordinary faith in the humankind, despite whatever disparaging has occurred up until this moment, throughout history, throughout time, across the land, across the globe. And so anything that has occurred, they are in definite unison and harmony to help assist us to further ourselves, to transcend into a higher dimensional standpoint of existence, of thought process, of how we treat one another, how we coexist with the planet, with one another, and how we implement our spiritual awareness or scientific awareness, and how we implement our emotional intelligence and the spiritual intelligence, the scientific intelligence. And we also applying the biocentrism, and that we are all electrical bodies that are cosmic, yet we have our free will to have a belief system in which we know in ourselves what does exist for us, and others that will come along the way that find their own belief system as well. And so everyone has their own time and space in which they arrive to a certain conclusion, or they arrive to what their personality aligns with and enhances their personality, enhances their viewpoint, and how they are a receiver, recipient, and also a purveyor, and also a contributor. So we all want to contribute and co-contribute and also receive the goodness of that co-contribution and the purveyor of goodness, right? So that, I believe, is concurrent with your thought process of that we are totally in a beautiful family connectivity here. So we are allies. They love us. They love us. They do not love the destruction and the disparity that has occurred and the tyranny and so forth. And they weep for that. Yet they know that there are many, many, many who are aligned in that starseed consciousness, in which we want to prosper the world. We want to prosper the animal kingdom and prosper the humankind kingdom. We want to merge and create, in a sense, bring the celestialness to planet Earth, implementation of that. We are harmonic beings. We are an emanation of love, goodness, and purity. And anything that is the opposite of that, we have enough power to transcend all of that through the cosmic higher conscious beings, celestial beings, of course. And there is much belief in us. That is why we are still here and remain so.
Ray, this has been fantastic talking to you. I love the show. I just really, really love it. The Beyond Earth Show with Rachel here with me, Sugan the Iyer, asking questions. And we have a couple of shows. The Joyful Manifestation Show with me, Sugan the Iyer. It's all about high vibrations. And the Good Fortune Show with Rachel here, we have it every Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here on Station 1. But for the meantime, we will catch up with you a couple of weeks later, again on Station 1, the Beyond Earth Show with Ray Trujillo. And it's going to be on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, Ray, I'm so happy to be talking to you. And we're going to be discussing many, many more subjects and even have a call-in number. You can call in and ask us questions. And to all the star seeds out there, and to all of them, all of you people who believe that there's something beyond just what's happening here on Earth, well, we're not really alone, and we're here to talk about that. So, Ray, thank you so much for your show. Any parting words, any last words before we leave?
Well, it's been a delight to be present in this experience. And the parting words that I could relay would be to continue with strength and your individual enlightenment, and that your individual belief system, what you've seen, cannot be negated. And it cannot be perceived in any other way, because that is your personal truth through the divine interdimensional beings that have created that experience for you to experience in the tangible sense. So believe in yourself, believe in what you've experienced, because it's the truth, no matter what anyone may say to dissolve or mitigate oneself. You know your higher power, you know your higher being.
Okay, thank you so much, Ray. And until the next time, a couple of weeks later, Station 1, the Beyond Earth Show with Ray Trujillo. Have a wonderful rest of the day and wonderful weeks.